Amen. If you have your Bible, take it tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter number 25. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to preach just a few minutes tonight for the Lord to help me on being ready. Amen. Being ready. As we look at this and we see in Olivet Discourse here, the Lord is comparing to the kingdom of heaven. But if you back up just a little bit, one chapter to Matthew chapter 24, and they ask him, the apostles ask him, disciples ask him, in verse number 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately and saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now I want you to notice what takes place first. They ask him the sign of the coming and the end of the world. They knew at that time that Jesus was coming back before the end of the world, before that destruction, that judgment that would come upon the world. Of course, God said, the Lord says, Jesus, he speaks to them and brought in a brief statement here. He just says, he said, be careful about increased deception, because deception is everywhere tonight. They would like us to be deceived. They'd like us to accept everything coming and going and just, kind of go with the flow of this world which we live in. But God got a plan and a perspective that he wants us to follow, and we need to do that. He said not only would they be deception, but they would be, in that deception would be false Christ. I wonder today how many false Christ there really are. You say, preacher, I don't really see people rising up, and proclaim themselves to be Christ. Well, I could say just about anything that we put before Christ could be a false Christ. Amen. It'd be that we would serve and follow and we would attain to. Amen. We got to be very careful in that. And then he said they would be wars and rumors of wars. Amen. We're seeing that all over the globe today. I mean, it's just like it's almost exploding. It's almost like the whole world is a powder keg and just waiting on somebody to light the fuse. Amen. So we see that. He said we'd see famines and pestilences. In case anybody didn't know, you can't hardly buy eggs. Amen. We was working a lot out here yesterday, and Miss Sharon, Brother Ralph called her, she brought us up some egg sandwiches for lunch. I said, boy, I don't deserve that. That's a delicacy. I said, you must be rich. Amen. Even down at Miami restaurant, the sign on the door said, if you order eggs, there's going to be a 50 cent extra for each egg. And they said the price of eggs could go up to $14 a dozen. Amen. Because of the pestilence, because of the bird flu. Amen. It's going around. They're making them go in and kill thousands and thousands of chickens. Now, what gets me is they're having to slaughter all of the chickens. Whether they got the flu or not, if one in that chicken house has is test positive, they have to destroy them all. It just doesn't make much sense to me. Amen? But it's the famines and the pestilence that we'd see in the world. He said simultaneously with all that, so there'd be earthquakes all over the world. Earthquakes are expediting in number every year. Every year, if you go back and study the facts, there's more and more earthquakes every year. Amen. And they're in diverse, which the Bible says, diverse are different places that places never had earthquakes before are having earthquakes. So what is the Bible trying to teach us? Amen. He's trying to teach us, trying to show us, instruct us, praise God, that these things will come back. And he said, these are the beginning of sorrows. Things that ought to get our attention. Amen. Not only that, he said there'd be racial intolerance. Amen. People fighting amongst themselves. Let me just say something here. There's only one race, and it's the human race. We all started from Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen. The difference in us is the pigmentation of the skin. That's the difference. Amen. Praise God. But we see that day, but it's expedited like you wouldn't believe. The intolerance that we have for different people and the persecution that we have. Even the persecution we see of the Jews. I mean, they're persecuting the Jews like crazy, but Jesus said it would be like this in the last days, where man is independent of God and are just totally dependent on themselves. These false prophets rising up everywhere that claim to be those that prophesy the things of God. And then there's apostasy that's widespread. He said in the last days they would be people that would be departing from the faith. Amen. I want to say if you can depart from the faith, I just wonder if you really had it to begin with. Every time I've tried to get away from God, well, there's a chastening comes upon me. And Brother Kevin, he draws me back. Amen. He brings me to a place where I fall on my face and I say, Lord, please forgive me a sinner. Help me do better. Every day I ask him, I say, Lord, help me do better today than I did yesterday. With your strength, praise God. Amen. But he says here in chapter 25 of Matthew, he said he's speaking of being ready when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. What he's speaking to us now, in order to understand that this parable, you have to realize and what a parable is. It's a something that speaks to us from some chances and circumstances that's in the world. And what he was speaking to them here in this parable of the ten virgins, he's speaking to them of a marriage. Amen. And most of the marriages at that time would take place at night. The reason being that everybody worked during the day. Amen. And so they would have these marriages at night, and they would have these attendants. There'd be young men that would tend to the bridegroom, and they would have these young virgins that would be attentive to the bride. Okay? And so they would be there, and the reason they would need the lamps is because it occurred at night. Amen. So they would have these lamps, praise God, and the bridegrooms, the bridesmaids would go out and meet the bridegroom, and the bridesmaids would escort the bridegroom into the bride's house, and once they got in, then the doors would shut, and the ceremony would begin. Amen. And once the ceremony began, they did not want it to be interrupted. So you see how this thing's laid out. That just makes it pretty plain. You can see what's happening. Amen. And he's speaking here of the kingdom of heaven. Now the kingdom of heaven, it always signifies either the grace of God or the glory of God. Here he's speaking of the grace of God. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is speaking of the grace of God. It's likened to ten virgins. Praise God, the kingdom of God, praise God, is that place of significance of the grace of God in the hearts and minds of the people. It's the state of the church today. Hello? A church full of grace, a church that's conceived in grace. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. So we see this, we see in this parable, we see the state of the church today in a state of grace, looking for a soon coming Savior. Amen. I'm expecting him any minute. You say, preacher, you always say that. Yeah, I've been saying here, well, come next month, it'll be 19 years, and I'm still expecting to come any minute. Amen. I get excited when I think about it. Because he's my Savior, praise God, and he's coming to me. So here we have these ten virgins, and we have ten professions. Amen? Ten professions. Now these represent the joint professions of the church. All the people in the church, have you ever thought about it, that maybe everybody in the church that professes Christ are not saved? Amen? Amen. Now, we want to give them benefit of doubt, but a lot of people that profess Christ in the church are not saved people. Ralph Sexton Sr. said one time that probably 85%, he was talking to his church, and he said probably 85% of people in the church are not saved. They made a profession. Maybe they was in a Bible school somewhere or another, and they went to an altar because all the other kids did. And they made a little profession. They said a few words, maybe even cried a few tears, but they was never truly born again. Amen? That's why we preached the other day on be assured of being assured of your salvation. Knowing, praise God, that you truly have been born again. Praise the Lord. So these virgins had an expectation. Praise God, it was joyful, and it was an expectation of meeting the bridegroom, which is Christ. Now, in Paul's time, when Paul was running the earth, he was looking for the Lord to come back at any minute. Amen. He was excited about it. He was he thought that in his lifetime the Lord would come back, but he hasn't yet. But he will. Amen. So we see these virgins, amen. The Bible says they was five foolish, amen. So these five foolish, they have their lamps, they have a profession, but they have no oil in their lamps. So they have no truth of grace, praise God, that they can take with them. I'm afraid what's wrong with the church today, we don't have no truth of grace that we can carry with us to strengthen us in our Lord, to give us direction and hope and the encouragement. And the first little thing that comes up in our life, we get discouraged and dissuaded and we give up. Hello? It amazes me when you talk to people, they get tore up and they get out of church. Their life goes awry. They struggle and have a fit with everything, with the family, the relationship, the children, and they don't understand why. But when you sit down and begin to converse with them, they begin to tell you, and amazingly, you don't really have to do nothing. I'm just a good listener. Because a lot of times they know exactly where they messed up. And most of the time it's because they got their little feelings hurt or something, and they got out of church, they got away from God, and everything went awry. You get away from God and the house of God, you won't be able to make it. You'll struggle. We struggle hard enough with Him. You won't make it without Him. Amen. Let me say it again. You will not make it without Him. The world and the devil and your old flesh will drag you into the pit. Amen. We need the Lord. But we see these foolish ones, praise God, they didn't have the truth of grace in their heart. Now you see these five wise ones, they have truth, praise God, in the matter in their lives. Amen. They have a true faith and they have love, praise God. Because they have the grace of God as a part of their relationship. They actually have a relationship. Amen. They have true faith, praise God, and love. Amen. We know that we're saved. We know that we belong to God. We know that we're His because the Bible says we love the brethren. We love each other. Amen. That's how we know we're saved. Praise God. Now we may not always like everybody's ideals and the things that we do, but we love the brethren because God loves us first. And He teaches us, praise God, through His love to love each other, to care for each other, to encourage each other. Amen. To say those things to edify and lift up and encourage. He teaches and trains us to be encouragers. So we see those that have the faith and the love, that true grace from God. Hey, praise God. And that feeds man's soul, praise God. That feeds man's profession. It's that fuel that we have, praise God. The fuel that they needed for their lamps, that when the time come, praise God, they wouldn't be found without. Got fuel. Amen. You got that, praise God, a supply of fuel for your lamp. That's what they had. They had grace. They had the love of God. They had that fuel for their lamp. See, these others had their lamps, but they didn't have nothing in them. Amen. An empty lamp won't do you no good. Amen. You can have that lamp sitting on a shelf at the house. Amen. But the wick can be gone or gone bad and out of oil, praise God. And when the time comes that you need it, it won't benefit you anything. Amen. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You got to have a good wick in that thing. Praise God. It's got to be adjusted. It's got to be trimmed. Well, there's a message in that right there. Praise God. And then you got to have that oil, praise God, that'll absorb in that wick, that'll give you that light that you need when you need it. Amen. When the night comes, praise God, and you need that light, you know what? It's got to be ready. Amen. Because the Bible says in verse number 5, the bridegroom tarrying. The bridegroom tarrying, praise God. Amen. So while the bridegrooms are tarrying, they all slumbered and slept. That bridegroom tarrying, praise God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he's tearing, glory, hallelujah, I'm glad he's tearing because he's offering us a reprieve from judgment. Amen. He's offering us a reprieve from judgment. He's tearing, praise God, giving opportunity for old sinners to get saved, praise God, before he comes. Amen. And these professing virgins are a type of those of us, praise God, who get in, who love the Lord, who get saved, born again, and there to serve Him. We're looking for the Savior, and we're professing it, we're confessing it, praise God, around this world, around our communities, to our families and friends and loved ones and co-workers. Praise God that we love Jesus, and Jesus loves us, and He's coming again soon. Amen. I said He's tarrying. He's delaying, praise God. He's delaying that judgment that's coming. He said, why he's delaying? They said they're slumbering and sleeping. Amen? In our infirmities and lack of strength. That's what infirmities are. It's a lack of strength. Amen? Sometimes we get bogged down. And it's easy to say, well, you know, like he says in Timothy, he said, well, the promise of his coming, it's the same way it's always been. Peter said, it's the same way it's always been. We don't look for anything to change. But praise God, I'm telling you, young, we need to be ready because we don't know, praise God, the night, the day, the hour when Jesus Christ will step out with a shout and a trump and a come up hither. Amen. We need to be ready. We need to be expecting. Our infirmities, praise God, lack of strength keeps us from being ready. But glory to God, their hearts was awakened to the cry. When the cry went out, praise God, the Bible says that those virgins, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I want you to notice it said they all arose. Let me just say something tonight. I believe everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people say, well, they're atheists and all this. They don't believe this and they don't believe that. I believe everybody, praise God, would like to go to heaven, to like to go to a better place. Amen. I believe everybody would. But it's all said, I don't believe there is such thing as an atheist. They all believe something. Amen. Everybody believes something. But their heart, these hearts, their heart, they rose, their hearts was awakened, praise God. And it stirred them to movement. Out of their slumber and out of their sleep, these five wise virgins, praise God, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. Amen. They'd heard the cry. They heard it, that the Lord was coming, and they was preparing to go. They was preparing to meet Him. They trimmed up their lamps. They wanted that light to be bright. They wanted the light to be the best that it ever been. Amen. These last days, the dispensation of grace, it's a time that our light ought to be the best that it's ever been. Amen. We ought to try to shine forth as brighter than the noonday sun. Praise God. I was out there in the sun today, and my glasses get so dark. I've never had a pair of glasses that get as dark as these. Amen. And I come in out of that sun. I went back into the study, and it was like I needed a guide dog. Amen. Because that light, that sun was so bright, it was so brilliant. Praise the Lord. And it played on the lenses of my glasses. And it played on the lenses of my soul. And I thought to myself, glory, hallelujah. Ain't God good that He shines so bright? Praise God upon my heart. Glory, hallelujah. That sun, the S-U-N. Praise God that never has to be refueled. I've never seen a fuel truck pull up and top it off. But glory, hallelujah. It just keeps shining on. Amen. And the sun, the S-O-N, it just keeps shining bright in our hearts. day after day after day. So those hearts are stirred, praise God. They're awakened at the cry that the master, that the bridegroom's coming. Amen. But then you got those others, those five foolish. Amen. The security, praise God, that deep security that they have, a sense of their own sinful state, that what with not having a sense of their own sinful state, a sense of not receiving Jesus and receiving the prize and attaining to the hope that He has. What a tragedy it is to not be ready when He comes. Amen. To be expecting, but not expecting Him anytime soon. I'm afraid that's where the world is today. Even Christians, we expect Him to come, but we don't expect Him to come anytime soon. Amen. I look up every day like this could be today. Amen. And I say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me anything. Praise God, to hinder my relationship. Hinder me from seeing You as You are. And all Your magnificence and Your splendor, praise God, in Your coming. The Bible says in verse number 6 that the bridegroom, that the bridegroom at midnight. Said at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. There was the cry. Praise God. The cry goes out. Are we ready? Praise God. If the cry goes out, are we ready to go and meet Him? Amen. Or we would have to say, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute. Let me get this taken. Let me straighten this out. Let me get this taken care of. Let me make this right. Amen. You may miss the bus. Amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, if we've been saved, if you've been saved and born again, praise God, you already got your ticket. Amen. Praise God. But if you're not, it may be too late. The bridegroom came, the cry went out. Amen. It may be a time in trouble. It may be a time of affliction upon your soul. But praise God, we need to be reckoned, looking, expecting till the Lord comes to help us. Amen. He has help for us now. We don't have to wait till later. We don't have to wait till years down the road. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. The Lord has a promise that He'll help us, every one of us today. It don't matter, praise God, what we're going through. It don't matter the troubles, the afflictions. Amen. And at the time that we think not, that's when He'll show up. About the time that you get caught up in the flesh and you end up somewhere you shouldn't be. Amen. That's about the time the Lord show up. Amen. Lord will show up. He'll say, what are you doing? Especially when you're in a place like that. He said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Amen. When we least expect it, but we ought to expect it all the time. I mean, those foolish weren't expecting Him come. Well, He's coming, but He's not coming today. We'll make preparation, you know, tomorrow. We'll get those things that we need tomorrow. Amen. But today is the day of salvation. But they all rose. They all was wanting to go to heaven like everybody else. They trimmed their lamps. Amen. In preparedness. They had prepared themselves. They thought they had. They had prepared to meet the reception party, the reception of the bridegroom. Everybody ought to be ready to meet Him. Amen. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know how, but praise God, we got to be ready when the bridegroom comes, when the call goes out. But the Bible says that they had a profession. It said in the verse number 8, it said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Amen. We need you to share with us what we had, what we brought with us, and we've run out. I'm afraid a whole lot of the world has run out. Their lamps are empty. Amen. They're like Christian hobos. They're looking to hitch a ride on somebody else. Take somebody else's dime, pray, said, somebody else pay the toll. Somebody else pay the fee so they can ride. Amen. Praise God. Listen. They was professors without a possession. They possessed to know God. They possessed to know the Lord. They possessed to have the truth. Amen. But they failed to have the true faith and a regenerated heart. Amen. It takes a regenerated heart, praise God, for a faith to have a place to embed itself. Praise God. I'm true faith, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The hypocrites were hoping to be relieved, praise God, along the way. They was hoping that the grace and the good works of somebody else would carry them through. You know anybody like that? I talked to a fellow, I begged and pleaded and pleaded and begged with him to get right with God. And every time I got right down on my hands and knees beside of his chair and begged him to get saved before it's too late. And he'd look me between Bacon Bill and he'd say, "Preacher, my mama was a godly woman." I said, "Yes, she was. Maybe she was, but she can't get you to heaven." Amen. That won't get you there. He said, "But Jesus told Nicodemus that ye must be born again." It's a personal decision, a personal thing that we have to do. But these five, they were hypocrites. They thought they could get in on the works, the good grace of the others. But it didn't work that way. Praise God. And he said, and while they went to buy, he said, "Lest there not be enough for us," verse number 9, "for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." Now, we're not talking about being able to buy grace, not talking about being able to buy salvation. We're talking about being ready, praise God, continuously looking for a soon coming Savior, expecting that He'd come any minute. Amen. Making sure of our salvation, praise God, being ready. And look what he says in verse number 10, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came." Amen. While they went to try to make things right, to get things right, the bridegroom came. And they that were, now watch this, and they that were what? Ready. Amen. Those that was ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Amen. Those five wise virgins, they took their lamps. They went out to meet that bridegroom. They escorted him back into the bride's house. And praise God, when he got in there, then that door was shut for the ceremony to begin. Amen. Rejoicing to begin. The joy to begin, praise God. Amen. See, sometimes it's too late. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, verse number 3, the Bible says, "In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." When it goes down, see what it'll fall the way that's leaning the hardest. Amen. When we fall, when we go down, when we expire on this side of eternity, we need to be leaning hard towards Jesus. Amen. Brother Bill, when I go out of here, I want him to know that I'm on his side, that I love him because he first loved me, and I want to be leaning hard. We all want to be leaning hard towards Jesus, because the way that we fall, that's the way we're going to give an answer. Amen. That's where we're going to lay. That's where we're going to be. So he says, we've got to be ready. They said they were ready, and the ones that was ready went in with him. Amen. And the door was shut. Now look at this, how sad. It says, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us." Now, I want you to notice this. When you have a repetition like that, "Lord, Lord," that repetition gives you a sense of a strong emotion. They were tore up. They were emotional. They were outside. If they would have been that strong and emotional about getting in and getting things from God and getting things right and living for Jesus, praise God, and trying to be a light in the world and keeping their lamps trimmed and burning and keeping them full, praise God, they wouldn't have to be such an emotional wreck. Amen. They would have that excitement. So they would be in, praise God, the wedding ceremony. They'd be in there with the Lord. But notice the sadness of the affair. He said, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Amen. He said, "I know you not." He said, I don't know who you are." He said, "You're none of mine." Yeah, preacher, how could that be? Because if he was, if they were of his, they would be in there with him. They would be ready. They would have been watching, praise God. They'd went out to meet him. They'd escorted him in. The door would have been shut behind them instead of in front of them. Amen. They would have been partakers in the ceremony, in the wedding. Amen. Praise God, with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus would give us this this statement in verse 13. He would say, watch therefore. Or he'd say, pay close attention. Don't miss it. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. He said, pay attention and be ready. He said, be always ready. Amen. He said, don't be getting ready. He said, be ready. Because we don't know when the Son of Man comes. Hey, there's none of us know when our time will expire. We know we have an appointment. Amen. And his appointed man wants to die, and after this judgment, we all have an appointment. You don't know when it is. It could be today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 20 years from now. We don't know. Amen. But we have that appointment. And we need to be ready. Okay, praise God. Okay, he said, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know what day. We don't know what day. We definitely don't know what hour. We just need to be ready, praise God. Look and expect until the Son of Man comes. Amen. I'm looking for a soon coming Savior. I say that all the time. People, I tell people that's not been to church, that I just met, I tell them that, and they look at me funny. Amen? They look at me like I've got a monopoly on this, and I know something. And they're like, okay, and? They want me to elaborate, or they want me to tell him, and he's coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Amen. You know, I face a lot of people, if they knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock, every church in the county would be full of, I mean, the doors busting open. You couldn't pack them all in there, trying to get in before it's too late. But you know the sad part about that? If the Holy Ghost of God ain't dealing with their heart, it don't matter where they're at or how they get there, it don't matter how many churches they are, if the Holy Ghost of God isn't dealing with their heart, they'll not get in. Amen. You can say every verse in the Bible, know it by heart. But the Holy Ghost of God hasn't dealt with you and showed you yet you're an old sinner and that Jesus Christ was the Savior and you've accepted Him as yours. Praise God. You'll not make it to heaven. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Amen. He said, that is spirit is spirit and that is flesh. He said, but I say unto you, you must be born again. Got to have that new birth from heaven. Praise God. I remember the day I don't remember the day that I got born, or I was born. Amen. Back in October the 18th, 1963. But I remember, did I ever tell you the time I got saved? On a Wednesday night, 1976. Praise God. Lord, come into where I was at, saved me by His marvelous grace, told me, show me. I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't know how to be saved. I didn't know how to... Hey, I had the load I was carrying, but I didn't know how to get out from under it. But that little old preacher... Did I tell you about that? That little old preacher said, look, Jesus loves you. And He died for you. You just have to receive. You just have to receive Him as your Savior. That He died. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus was for you. I said, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Got gloriously saved, born again. And I'm on my way to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And praise God, He ain't got no racer. He loves me, cares for me, He's helping me, praise God. And He said, He's helping us. He said, we need to be ready. Not to be professors of Christianity, but to be possessors of Christianity. That's possessors of Christ in our heart as our Lord and Savior. And if you've got that, you can go out into a lost and dying world and compel them to come in. And Jesus said that would be great. He said, because I'd like to see my house full. Amen. Whosoever, faith, praise God, whosoever would believe on Lord Jesus Christ could be saved. That's everybody. They're just like I was. They just need to realize, they probably realize they're old sinners. They just realize, need to realize that they was a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord, came seeking to save people like them. Amen. See, I figured he came to seek and save other people. A little old rotten boy like me. I didn't know what he wanted me. Amen. But that little preacher that night, he was pretty animate about it. It was like he was looking right at me every time he was speaking. He said, he loves you. He came to save you. God. He's talking to me. Amen. He's talking to you. He's talking to us. He loves us. In Matthew, the Bible, Jesus here, he said, just be ready. He says, for you know not neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Who is the Son of Man? It was him. What he was saying in closing, listen, he was saying, you don't know when I'm coming. He said, but I'm coming. How do we know? Because he said he was. Can he lie? Well, then what does that mean? He's coming. Ready or not, praise God, here he comes. He's coming. We need to be ready because he is coming. He's coming again, just like he said he would. Praise God, he's coming again. And we need to be ready. We need to expect him to come and come to get us, praise the Lord. One day in a little while, before long, we'll see our Savior face to face. Oh, how glorious that will be. Amen.